Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 4, we were taught that if we know of somebody that is teaching false doctrine, we must point them out. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Blooms.
Now, I've been pastor long enough. I started pastoring in 1978. I preached my first sermon in a church in February of 1970. But full-time pastorate didn't start until March of 1978. But I found out people get upset when I do what was commanded here in verse 17 to mark them, which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and adds, and avoid them. Now that word mark means publicly point them out, publicly name them. Let us imagine there's a preacher that says, I think there are many roads to heaven. Then you publicly point out that person by name and say they are teaching a false doctrine. Maybe someone else says, I believe that you can be a good Muslim, a good Hindu, a good Mormon, adhere to their doctrines, and still go to heaven. No, you've got to repent and believe the gospel. Jesus says, I'm the only way. We find in Acts 4:12, there is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved except that name of Jesus Christ. And so, if I point those things out, and some of these things that I just mentioned earlier about Catholicism, which is what this is prophesying would happen in the church. It would be there in Rome, and it would start to spread out. These doctrines of devils, these doctrines where they depart from true faith, and then they get into things like the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and they have Mary holding a baby, and many times pictured above Jesus Christ. And we see the doctrines of purgatory and things of that nature, the crucifixes, all those false things, those doctrines of devils. And people get upset if you point those things out and say, oh, you shouldn't do that. But are those things contrary to Bible doctrine? Yes, they are. And the imperative command, now an imperative command in the Bible is imperative in Greek, and it has the idea of, you better obey this because you're going to be called into an account as to whether or not you obeyed. The imperative command is to avoid them. Avoid them. Okay. So you hear a preacher like that and you say, oh, he's been such a good guy all these years. I'm going to send him some money. No, don't. Don't. Because the Bible lets us know that makes you partaker of their evil deeds. Now, verse 18 is interesting also because it says, here in Romans chapter 16, he says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the people. You see, their own belly speaks of their own feelings. I have a missionary that our church supports that was telling me about being on deputation. He went into a church, and there was a group up there singing. They called them the worship leaders. It's about a 3 or 4 quartet of young men. Then those young men sat down on the first pew while this guy got up to preach. And he's one of those preachers that kind of walks around. You know, he goes down to the audience and while he's preaching. And he just happened to look down and here these guys are playing games on their cell phones. And yet they're called worship leaders. They got up and sang and drew all kind of attention to themselves. And they sat down and played games instead of listening to the Word of God preached. Now, I'm though that same missionary pretty well told them while he's preaching about that sin. And by the way, that's what it is. But by the way, that's also leadership. That's obedience to what the Scripture says to do. See, good words and fair speeches are also the things they do. Why? They appeal to your pride, make you feel good. I've told people often, especially our young people, say, you know, when I was young, people would say, I don't feel like I've been to church if the preacher didn't step on my toes. Now they go out and say, oh, if I don't feel good about myself, then I just don't feel like I've been to church. Well, if that's what you're looking for, then my friend, you might get yourself as drunk as you can get, because you'll feel good until it wears off, and then you got a headache that makes you feel very bad. But if you're shooting for a good feeling instead of righteousness and peace in the heart, then you're not going to get it if you can't endure sound doctrine. Now, we think of good words and fair speeches. Joel Osteen can make you feel positive about going to hell. The truth is, they say nothing negative. If there's one verse against contemporary worship and music, I think that right here, it points it out very rightly, where he says, by their good works and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's their own feelings they're after. I think that the leader of Iran, Ahmadinejad, would not be offended by the Jesus and doctrine that many of these are preaching today. Then the third thing that we see about these last days is in verse 2, where it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy. They parade as teachers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they go from the sound doctrine of the Word of God, proclaiming that the church has priority over the Bible in its pronouncements. Well, that's what Catholicism ended up doing. They can make pronouncements and they'd say that supersedes the Word of God. They can make these decrees, and then that's it. They pretend to be pious and religious, but their religion is man-centered, and it ends up making merchandise of you. Now, that's somewhat like religious psychiatry and psychology. It compromises the word, compromises doctrine to get along. Too often it appeals to an emotional side rather than the spiritual side. Makes you feel good if you gave to charity, as if giving to charity is going to save your soul. It's a good thing to give to charity, but it doesn't save your soul. They pretend to be part of your church and doctrine. But they like to make disciples and lead them to their way of religion. I believe that one of the great lies that we see is that of purgatory. It allows them to exact more money to get people out of punishment. Again, they're superseding the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, often you'll see Mary's image above Christ as the Queen of Heaven. I saw that several times when I was in Israel, and I'd see those Catholic churches, and I'd see those images up on the churches, and Mary'd be above Jesus. They'd show her as the Queen of Heaven, holding a baby, as they do in the old pagan religion. They bow down to kiss the Pope's ring on his toe instead of bowing to the one and only Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing we're told here is they have their conscience seared with a hot iron there in verse 2. Now, conscience speaks of a right inner moral sense and witness. But this inner moral sense and witness has been burned out. Isn't that the opposite of chapter 3 and verse 9, where it says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience? Well, here they're doing just the opposite. This is not anything that is pure. It's wrong. It's evil. And so their conscience is seared with a hot iron. In essence, they reach a place when their conscience no longer responds to the voice of God. Now, my friend, I pray that you'll know this, and as a matter of fact, you can pray this for me, to know the voice of God in my heart, that His voice will be as familiar to me as the voice of my own wife, and that He'll speak to me each day. Now, my friend, God's not going to speak to your heart if when He speaks to it, and He wants something removed from your life and you won't do it, or if He wants something added and you won't add. If the Bible's not a vital part of your life, don't expect the voice of God to be heard in your heart. Don't expect to get to know the voice of God speaking. Now we see a fifth thing here. It's seen in verse 3. Forbidding to marry. And later, the church at Rome began this. We're being told here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that one of the things to happen soon in the church age after this was written, and remember, this is the Holy Spirit that's speaking this expressly, and He does this so that the true church might understand when the time came what was going on. And so in the latter times, we're being warned that a church would rise that would teach a celibate priesthood or monk is to be celibate, and that he is holier than a Christian father or husband. He's holier than they are. Or an unmarried nun is on a higher moral plane than a godly wife or mother. So they forbid the priest and the nuns to marry. Well, what does 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 tell us about a pastor? The bishop, he says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So, guy's going to be a pastor, he needs to be the husband of one wife. When one reads of the ecumenical church in Revelation 17 and 18, he sees the evil impact the Roman church has on the world before it is destroyed in the tribulation, as it brings together all the religions under one umbrella and their ecumenical movement, their one world religion, which is the culmination of mystery Babylonianism, which started way, way back there in Genesis chapter 10. And now has settled in Rome and has infiltrated the church. And so what we're finding out here is that we're warned of it before it happens, so we will know it when it does happen, when it does come.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.